1 Nephi, chapter 16. In the beginning of this chapter, Laman and Lemuel say that it's hard things that that Nephi has said against them. We have to stop here and ask ourselves, what do they mean hard things? What hard things are they talking about? Well, all he was talking about is that any filth at all can reside in heaven. So what we have to assume from this is that what Laman and Lemuel were thinking is that they were thinking on this idea of worthy, that they had did some things to make themselves worthy, and now they were worthy to go to heaven, but they didn't really have to perfect themselves and shred all filthiness. And we can see this a lot because later on, Laman and Lemuel continue to talk about how they knew that the people in Jerusalem were good and that they were good with them. And so we can assume that it's the same idea that we have today, that if just by doing a few good things, and if we do enough good things, we've got enough credits to become worthy, and if we go to church and we do the church performances, then we've made worthy because we've again did these performances. We know that history repeats ourselves, and it's the same thing. Well, this is what they were thinking. They didn't like being told, hey, you're not ready to go to heaven, even though that you've did all these things. And so all we're doing is repeating here that we have to perfect ourselves. And Nephi talked to him, and he continued to explain this to him. And having explained it to him, then they humble themselves to the Lord, which means that they agree, and through their spirit they see that's correct, and that the only way to get to learn how to be perfected is to humble themselves to the Lord, meaning they've got to go do what the Lord wants, because only the Lord has the knowledge on how to perfect an individual, and only the Lord has the capability of perfecting an individual. We cannot even create our own experiences. We don't even have the knowledge ourselves to perfect ourselves. What we have to do is humble ourselves to the Lord and ask Him what it is that we are to do to humble ourselves, to perfect ourselves. And again, I repeat here that they humbled themselves to the Lord, not Nephi, not humble themselves to a bishop or to a general authority or a prophet or anyone. They humbled themselves to the Lord. They have to go directly to the Lord to find out what they are to do for themselves individually. Now, you may seem to think that I'm harping on this a lot. It's not me that's harping on it, it's the Scripture. Scripture repeats this over and over again, as the Lord is trying to make this point clear, because He knows that this will be a great stumbling block for the people. They will continue to want to think that all we have to do is go out and gather a bag full of good deeds, and then we become worthy. And that we do this by following our leaders and following and then doing the things that we're told to do, or that we collectively make a church and we all set a standard and we live by some standard the church sets. That is not the way it's done. It is clearly done by following the Lord, humbling ourselves to the Lord, and finding out what He wants us to do individually. And notice that they repeat here about humbling the Lord and doing His will. Well, then, after this, then it says that they were all married to the daughters of Ishmael. And then in verse 8, Nephi says that he was blessed. Well, how was he blessed? Well, we have to review what has happened. He's been given great knowledge. He's been given visions. He's been given understanding by the Spirit of the Lord. And he's been told about the Messiah. And he's learned about Christ. And he's followed Christ through the Spirit. This is how he's been blessed. So what has he been given? He's been given knowledge. And then he's applied that knowledge so that he has been perfected, or he's had progress, meaning that the Lord has progressed him. Again, the main meaning of being blessed is that you are progressed, and that your spirit and your along with your body is perfected. The differentiation here is that the Lord will also talk about being prospered. When he says prospered, he means physically and materially. So you're giving the material goods, and blessed has to do with being progressed. And he was also given a wife, and he thought that was a blessing. Well, obviously it's a blessing. The main important thing that we need in eternity is to have a wife, because we're going to be one with that wife, and we cannot become exalted without a wife. And so this is a great blessing in his eternal progression, and the Lord had prepared another way for him to take the next step in his progression by even providing a wife out in the wilderness. So again, the Lord will provide everything we need for us to progress to exaltation if we'll follow Him. I'll bet when Lehi's family went out into the wilderness, that's one of their big questions. Gee, we know that we're supposed to have wives. How are we ever going to have wives? And right off the bat, the Lord didn't tell them. They were just to go out in the wilderness. So they had to leave and go into the wilderness and follow the Lord first, and then the wives came. And so, again, that was probably another thing that didn't seem reasonable to them. Well, it doesn't seem reasonable we go out in the wilderness. Where are we ever going to find wives? And nonetheless, we see that we follow the Lord first, and He'll provide for all things that are necessary for our eternal progression. So then the Lord tells them to go ahead and begin their journey into the wilderness in verse 9. But again, notice here that the Lord is in charge of their lives. The Lord tells them where to go and when. He tells them every aspect of their lives. A modern man or normal man wants to say, well, okay, the Spirit told me in a vision to go out in the wilderness. So they go out in the wilderness, and they immediately decide when, what would be the best time. No, it's raining today. I'll wait until tomorrow. And then when I get out there, I better hurry up and get in there before they catch me. And see, they hadn't really went in amongst the wilderness of the trees. They were kind of on the outskirts for a while. But the man said, oh, I'll hurry up and go into the wilderness. What I'm getting at is that man constantly wants to put his own thoughts into things and not just be patient and do it exactly as the Lord says. And again, we're even told that it's silly to think that the Lord would direct every aspect of our lives. Well, here we see the very first story in the Book of Mormon that the Lord will direct every aspect of our lives if we'll go unto Him and ask Him what it is He wants to do. And if we have faith in Him, He will take care of everything for our progression. Now, by them waiting and not running off into the wilderness, the Lord is then able to deliver them, in verse 10, the Leahona. And the Leahona is what we call their compass to direct them, but it's a compass that works by faith. So they began to travel into the wilderness, and they used their bows to kill animals for their food. And it says in verse 16 that the Leahona led them to the more fertile parts of the wilderness. We see that again, the Lord has provided a way to even tell them where to go to get the best food, and so that life could be, in those circumstances, as comfortable as possible. Well, in 18, the bow of Nephi breaks, and so so his brothers become angry with him because they can't get any food. Now there's no food for the family. Everybody's getting all upset about it. Well, you know, it was it's not all Nephi's fault. Notice they have to direct it towards Nephi. The spring had been lost out of the brothers' bows also, and so they'd had problems with their bows. Why do they want to just point at Nephi? Well, that's because, nonetheless, they recognize that Nephi did have a relationship with the Lord, and so they're really mad at the Lord, and they want Nephi now to do something about it with the Lord. And we have to see this kind of an idea of how people get mad when they recognize someone as the Lord and they have some problems. They tend to get mad at them because they really don't want to get mad directly at the Lord, and they don't want to admit that it's really the Lord that they're mad at. Also, we notice that this is the first affliction that the brothers have had since they had humbled themselves previously in this chapter. And I don't know how much time has passed, but nonetheless, this is the first time that they're now given affliction. Now, the Lord wants to say, have you truly humbled myself? Well, let me give you some affliction and see how you react. And sure enough, they'd only humbled themselves in times of good or during prosperity. As soon as there is a little bit of affliction, immediately we see that they're really not sincere in their desire to humble themselves and follow the Lord. Notice also that Lehi begins to murmur along with them. Well, then we see what Nephi does. Nephi becomes kind of upset with them. He says, where's your faith? Just because this has happened, let's ask the Lord. Why are you beginning to murmur immediately? Let's go ask the Lord. Maybe He wants us to fast a day or two because it's good for us. Let's enjoy our fast, and then let's ask Him where we're going to get some food. I mean, these are some of the things that the way Nephi's thinking. And he gets upset at them because they're of such little faith. And so he goes and he makes a bow out of wood. So that's probably what the Spirit told Emory. He felt, well, let me start doing something, see if I can figure out what it is the Lord wants to do in this case. But let's not just sit around and murmur. So he builds him a bow, and then he goes to his father. Now notice the father had murmured, but he still goes to the father. Now why does he go to the father? Because the father is the head of the household. And what is the responsibility of the father? The responsibility of the father is to go to the Lord and find out how to provide for the family. Now, you can say that the father has a responsibility to provide for the family, But their real responsibility of the father is to do whatsoever the Lord tells him, and if he will do what the Lord tells him, then the Lord will provide for the family. Now, in this case, this sets the precedence of this. We see that, so therefore, even though he's murmured, Nephi goes to his father. He doesn't just reject his father. He goes to his father, and he encourages his father to go to the Lord. Meaning, he sets up his responsibility as a family member. Our responsibility as family members is to encourage our father to go to the Lord. And if we can get him to go to the Lord, then we know that our entire family, is provided for by the Lord, because the father or the patriarch or the head of the family is doing what he is supposed to do in following the Lord. So again, the responsibility of the father is to follow the Lord. The responsibility of the family members are to encourage the father to go follow the Lord. Well, this causes Lehi to humble himself. And he's got to do some heavy humbling. And so he humbles himself and he goes to the Lord. And then, because he does that, then the Lehonavi starts working, and they're told where to go get the food. Nephi gets the food, and they begin on their way. And then we're told also that the Lehonah works by faith. And we'll learn a little bit more about this later. It's actually, they come back in later chapters and talk a little bit about the Lehonah, and we'll talk about it more then. But in verse 29, it says it's by small means that the Lord brings about his work. It's by a little faith on this Lehonah, then you do what the Lehonah says, and you follow it, meaning you follow what the faith of the Spirit has told you to do, or the Lehonah. And you go out and you do that, and so you're exercising some faith, not only to get the Lehonah work, but by then doing what the Lehonah says. And these are small things. And the point is we constantly think that the great reward in heaven is going to come from some big wonderful thing we do. And those that do these some big wonderful thing receive a great reward in heaven. And it's not that. It's by the small means. And why is it by the small means? It's by the small means that we perfect ourselves and that we grow. He's telling us that by exercising a small piece of faith here and there, that we continue, therefore, to do the things that perfect ourselves or make ourselves grow, and that's the things that are important to the Lord, and that's what his work is, and that's how he accomplishes his work, is by putting together all these small things to perfect and help each man to grow, and then lay the way so that they can help others to grow and progress. Well, anyway, in verse 30 and 31, they go out and they get the food, and when they get the food, everyone says it's of God, and they humble themselves. Now, this is kind of good, because now we see that instead of continuing to murmur, that Laman and Lemuel humble themselves. Well, remember back to when they were delivered from Laban, they didn't humble themselves then. They were still angry. And they didn't want to recognize it was of the Lord. But at this time, they're now starting to say, yes, this is of the Lord. You know, there's reason that it's throughout here that Nephi starts to say, he's starting to take great hope in them, because he's saying that they're starting to look to the Lord and starting to recognize the Lord's work in things. So then they journey on some more. And as they journey on, naturally, they're still saying, how come we're living in a tent and have a dirt floor and things aren't seeming so pleasant as having a house and just having roots, and it gets tiresome having to pack up and go. And so it's wearing on them. And all of a sudden, in verse 35, Ishmael dies. And now without Ishmael to lead them and to encourage them and to be their leader, all of a sudden then the family of Ishmael, or the daughters, begin to murmur against Lehi. Now notice that it's directed against Lehi. Now we can suppose at this time that now this becomes a great affliction for Lehi. Why? Because, you know, he's murmured against the Lord, and then he humbled himself. Well, now what the Lord does is he gives him affliction. He has affliction, one, to approve, for Lehi to prove that he's truly humbled himself, and then he'll follow the Lord in all things. And also this affliction helps Lehi to strengthen himself, meaning strengthen his convictions to follow the Lord. That yes, I will humble myself to the Lord, and I don't care how much persecution and affliction everybody else around me is given, is putting upon me, and how difficult it is for me, I will still follow the Lord. And that's what, and so therefore it was a great strengthening to Lehi to have these afflictions, and actually he holds up through them. Now, during this murmuring and all, the daughters of Ishmael want to return to Jerusalem. And so immediately, seizing upon this opportunity, Laman and Lemuel jump up and say, well, we'll devise a plan. See, we'll take the lead in this, and this is how we can become the leaders. and they devise a plan to kill Nephi and Lehi. And now they say why they're going to kill. See, they got to have an excuse of why they're going to kill Nephi. Notice they don't exactly say why they're going to kill Lehi, but maybe they did, and we're not told here. But the important thing is we are told why they killed Nephi, because it sets an important principle down. And that is, they say that they're going to kill Nephi because Nephi has took upon himself to rule, to be a ruler and a teacher of us. Now notice that they recognize that this is a great sin to want to usurp power and authority. In fact, it's a sin that's worthy of death. Now I wouldn't just want to run right out and immediately say that if it wasn't later on in the Book of Mormon that we find that Moroni says this same thing, and then in fact at other places they actually kill all those who desire to usurp power and authority. So we find that it's repeated throughout the Book of Mormon that a great sin is the desire or the actual usurpation of power and authority, and that anyone trying to do that is worthy of death. Well, obviously, we can see how great that is, because we see that's the reason that Satan fell from heaven, was because he desired to exercise authority and control over man. And that is the main sin, or the main motivation of the devil, is to usurp power and authority over man. And he will motivate all men to that same evilness. Well, notice that that Laman and Lemuel recognize this, and so they make up that excuse and they say that. Well, we know that they've been told by an angel that it's not Nephi that wants to be a ruler or a teacher on him. It's the Lord that's appointed him to do that, and an angel has told him that. And again, Nephi does not have any desire, and proves he has no desire as a ruler to exercise dominion or authority over them. All he wants to do is act as a teacher, to continue as he's shown, to direct them to the Lord and to receive their direction from the Lord. Now, but nonetheless, they've kind of got to justify, how did Nephi receive all these visions, and how has he done all these great things, getting us food, and so on. So they make it out that these are all of the devil. Notice that those who do the true works of the Lord are going to be said that they do them of the devil. And even Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, was accused of the same thing and said that he does these works of the devil, so that we can see as a sign that the good works of men, the visions and miracles and things that they do, will always be said to be of the devil. Notice then they also accuse him of wanting to become a king and to do his will and pleasure over them. What they're really doing is they are judging Nephi in terms of their own hearts. And men will do this a lot. It's just like today the doctrine that we are learning to become gods, or that we're the offspring of God and He is preparing us to be a god, is look at it. Other churches, we'll call them persecutors. These persecutors say that doctrine is that way because in their hearts they're thinking of a god who exercises great power and authority and control, and he creates earth and he makes everybody do what he wants. But we see on this earth, our God doesn't do that. Our God believes in freedom and free agency, and he knows that growth comes by our own choice. And what is God doing? God is spending all his time preparing the opportunities for us to grow, and preparing choices for us to be made. And mostly all he is being is a servant. He is creating all these things for us to and we are the masters of ourselves, and we make our own choices. So God is not someone who has dominion over others, but the wicked men of the world, which is vastly the natural man, they think of dominion and power and force and control over other men. Well, so that's what they naturally think when this angel told them that Nephi was going to be a ruler of them, or then they thought, oh, a ruler, that means he wants to be a king, and so that he can therefore own the whole kingdom. And so they think of this. So they think of the three evils of the devil. They think of him having the power and of being the king and being able to having dominion and owning the whole kingdom, so he'll have gain, and then he'll have the glory because he's got the title of king. And that's what they think of. That's what's in their mind, because they're ruled by the devil, and the devil puts these kind of thoughts in their mind. And they think of a ruler instead of thinking of a servant who has to spend his extra time helping the other people progress and progress where? To becoming followers of Jesus Christ. So then in 39, in order to support Nephi, the voice of the Lord comes down and chastises Laman and Lemuel. Now, to some degree, we could assume that this occurred because Laman and Lemuel had humbled themselves previously, and even when they received food, they still directed their attention toward the Lord, because they had shown some true desire to follow the Lord. When this happened, the Lord was going to kind of give them one more chance. So he directly came down, and maybe we can say it due to the laws of justification, having followed the Lord up to then to that point, then the Lord's going to step in and kind of do his part to give them another chance. And so he chastises them, and they do indeed repent. Now, the thing, big thing here is that's only in one verse where this happens, and so we tend in our minds to confine the time. And we say, well, they repented immediately. I think that really, if you study that out, you can feel that it took them some time to do this repentance. And it was a long repentance process to overcome this great evil that they had planned to do.